October the 22nd, 2005. I'm your host, Scott Horton. My website is weekendinterviewshow.com. I keep all the archives for you there in MP3 format. Also, you can find me on the blog at antiwar.com. I want to give a quick plug real quick to Derek's Martial Arts Gym. They're available at dmag.com and also libertystickers.com. I made them up, then sold the company. So go to libertystickers.com and buy a lot of stickers and tell Rick that I sent you and maybe he'll give me some more. So, okay, first guest, Justin Raimondo. He's featured in the new book, Neocon. He's the author of the books Reclaiming the Right, The Lost Legacy of the Conservative Movement, An Enemy of the State, The Life of Murray N. Rothbard, Into the Bosnian Quagmire, The Case Against U.S. Intervention in the Balkans, and Enigma. He's a contributing editor for the American Conservative Magazine, an adjunct scholar at the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and is editorial director of antiwar.com. Welcome back to the show, Justin.
Hey, great to be here.
Great to have you back on. First of all, and I hate to do this to you, but we've got to get this out of the way. With a name like antiwar.com, people must assume that you're some sort of left-wing revolutionary type. Is that so?
Nope. look, there's plenty of conservatives who are against this war. I mean, it's not a conservative kind of thing to invade another country. And furthermore, to do it in the name of the Bush Doctrine, which says that we have to liberate every country on earth. I mean, that's what he said in his second inaugural. So, really, you know, the Bush Doctrine is a revolutionary doctrine. They're the revolutionaries. We're the conservatives.
I see. So when people hear anti-war and they picture white kids with dreadlocks and Che Guevara shirts, that's not quite represented by antiwar.com, huh?
Well, the people who are thinking that are mostly older people because that's where they come from. They're going, well, you know, the 60s and blah, 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 but things change. It's different now. It's 2005, not 1965.
Right, and as you've written in your book, Reclaiming the American Right, it used to be the conservatives who were anti-war until really the Vietnam era, right?
Right. I mean, things always come back to, you know, where they started. So you got this cycle. And, you know, it was the conservatives who opposed U.S. entry into the Second World War, for example. You know, in fact, the biggest anti-war movement in American history was the America First Committee, which opposed us going into that war, led by Charles A. Lindbergh and John T. Flynn, who were both conservatives. So, and funded by big conservative business types. So, I mean, it doesn't always work out that way. Left and right tend to change their meanings. As you know, time goes on, and it usually has something to do with a war.
Very interesting point, too, about the Bush Doctrine, even though it's supposedly the conservative Republicans, it is really a revolutionary doctrine, as you said, to overthrow the whole earth.
Right. I mean, these guys are kind of Soviet in a way. I mean, they're really saying that. In fact, they even use the lexicon of the old Soviet Empire, you know. Instead of attack, they're liberating. and plus, you know, they love the word democratic, democracy. I mean, remember, you know, all the Soviet satellites in Eastern Europe were called, like, the German Democratic Republic. But guess what? It wasn't really democratic, was it?
Right.
The secret police. I mean, these guys have this ideology of democratism, and it means that, you know, you have this kind of sham election, like I did in Iraq recently, and then, you know, whoever's in charge, you know, gets to loot the state, loot the people, tax people, start more wars. I mean, it's just an endless fraud.
All right, everybody, this is the Weekend Interview Show, and I'm talking with Justin Raimondo. He's the editorial director of antiwar.com, and we'll be right back to talk all about Scootergate. It's the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm your host, Scott Horton, and I'm talking with a guy who went from being my favorite columnist to my boss, Justin Raimondo, at antiwar.com. And he's got a unique view of the unfolding story of the neoconservatives and the criminal investigation by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. So let's cut right to it, Justin. Early next week, it's expected that the grand jury led by Patrick Fitzgerald will hand down indictments for various prominent neoconservatives involved in the retribution leaking of the name of CIA operative Valerie Plame. Take us through, starting with who's Plame and why they leak her name.
Okay, so let's go back to why we got into this war to begin with. It was Iraqi nukes. That was the big argument that Bush made. We don't want to wait until there's a mushroom cloud to go in there. I mean, that's what he said. So they had to come up with a rationale, evidence. And one of these pieces of evidence was the Niger uranium documents. Supposedly Bush, as he said in his 2003 State of the Union, that Saddam was seeking nuclear weapons in an African nation, quote-unquote. Now, that African nation was Niger. And that was based on these documents that we had gotten our hands on. But these documents turned out to be forgeries. Of course, Bush probably didn't know that as he was mentioning them in his State of the Union speech. So less than a month later, the UN, the International Atomic Energy Agency, said, look, these are forgeries. And what's more, they were crude forgeries. I mean, anybody spending an hour with Google could have debunked them. So, embarrassment all around. And, you know, of course, somebody listening to this speech, namely Ambassador Joe Wilson, who is a former diplomat who had served in Africa, he was listening to Bush's speech and saying, what? He knew that that was wrong because he had been sent by the government, by the CIA, to Niger to check out these accusations. He'd come back with a report saying, there's nothing to it. It's impossible. It didn't happen. And then 6 months later, he's listening to his president lie, basically, to the American people. Okay, so he goes public after these papers are exposed as forgeries and says, look, I went there. His article, What I Didn't Find in Africa, was published on the op-ed page of the New York Times. And even before then, though, the administration or certain people in the administration around Dick Cheney's office, namely the chief of staff, Scooter Libby, or I. Lewis Scooter Libby, had it in for him. I mean, they were out to destroy him, discredit him in advance, because they knew that he was going to jump out and say, hey, wait. They tried to discredit him, and they outed his wife. His wife is a CIA, or was a CIA agent, who was involved in intercepting rogue nukes, basically. I mean, that
now,
was
Justin,
his job.
Help me understand. How is it that naming Wilson's wife hurt him?
This is very interesting, and I haven't covered this, and I'm glad you brought it up. Now, it's usually, in your introduction, you said, well, you know, it's a retribution outing of his wife as a CIA agent. But, I mean, how do we know that? How do we know what their motive was? A possibility is that, now, remember where Plame worked. She worked for a company that was a front for the CIA and was actually involved in going around the world and checking out where these rogue nukes might be. The very sort of rogue nukes, by the way, that might be used for an attack on the United States by Al-Qaeda, like a suitcase nuke, for example, which exists. And so, I mean, after these documents were debunked, I mean, don't you think that one of her jobs was to find out where these documents came from? Is it possible that Plame was outed because she was getting too close to who forged the Niger uranium documents? That's the key.
Isn't that an interesting question? Plame perhaps would have been involved in investigating the forged documents themselves.
I mean, we don't know that, but it seems logical, and they did go after her.
Right. Now, the official story, I guess, is that they were just trying to make him look like a mama's boy and say his wife got him the job was basically what they were trying to do, right?
Yeah, but so what? I mean, so what? You know, I mean, that's not so bad. You can still be a mama's boy and be right.
Right.
So it didn't discredit his arguments. I mean, I've never really... I mean, that always stuck in my mind, stuck in my craw also. Well, anyway, you know, the rest of the story is that they outed Plame, and somebody high up in the U.S. government did this. And now we're getting the news that, okay, it's not just the outing of a CIA agent that's involved here, okay, because, you know, the penalty for that is not such a big deal. It's not such a big crime. I mean, you know, you get maybe 10 years in jail and a $50,000 fine, okay? But, I mean, why have a two-year investigation over this? Actually, we don't know what Fitzgerald, Patrick J. Fitzgerald, who is the chief prosecutor in this, we don't know what he's investigating. I mean, that started it, but often in an investigation, you start looking into stuff and you find other bigger stuff, okay? Like Watergate, for example, was just a break-in. But it wasn't just a break-in, was it?
Right, and Fitzgerald, he has all the power of the Attorney General of the United States to follow whatever lead he wants to, right?
That's right. And so, I mean, right now I'm going to predict what's going to happen next week.
All right.
Okay. Scooter Libby, conspiracy to reveal classified information to people who are not entitled to receive it, conspiracy to commit fraud, one other conspiracy count, perjury, obstruction of justice, those are the charges, pretty much, that are going to level against him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you add up all those years, he's looking at maybe 40 years in jail and a, you know, like a huge fine. So
that'll be the day.
No, I'm telling you, I always get my readers going, oh, it's never going to happen, blah, blah, blah. It is happening. It's happening.
I have to say,
patriotic elements.
It's gone a lot farther than I thought it would.
No, pessimism is not justified. I'm telling you, in this case, if you look at Fitzgerald's record, he has a record of taking seemingly minor crimes and creating, or seeing, rather, a conspiracy, a larger conspiracy. He's good. Fitzgerald is good, and he's going to get these guys. And, okay, the whole reason this is happening, it started because George W. Bush, somebody effed him over, right? He gets up there. It's the State of the Union address. He says something. 3 weeks later, it's a forgery. I mean, it's not just untrue. We're talking about somebody fooled him.
Right.
He's mad. So that's why this started. That's what they're really investigating.
Well, and it brings up the question of whether he himself is guilty in this, too. I believe Powell's testimony was he only showed the name of Plame to Dick Cheney and George Bush, were the only two he showed it to on Air Force One.
Look, this is all about the White House versus the Office of the Vice Presidency. I mean, you know, like before this is over, Cheney may be confronted with a decision as to whether to resign or not. His chief of staff, Libby, is going to have the book thrown at him.
So to you, Justin, you think this is really about, this is a conflict between the vice president's office and the president's office rather than between the vice president's office and the CIA?
No.
I mean, I would have thought that whatever Cheney's guilty of, Bush is in on it, too.
Yeah. Bush is the dauphin. He's generally clueless. I mean, the real president has been Dick Cheney. I mean, the neocons took over the government. I mean, that is what Woodward said in his book, Plan of Attack. He was quoting Colin Powell, and saying basically the neocons set up, quote-unquote, a separate government. Okay?
Yep.
And so that separate government went around the CIA, went around the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and the mainstream agencies, and set up their own stuff, like the Office of Special Plans, a WIG, the White House Information Group, which is being investigated by Fitzgerald. All these all these freelance rogue operations are being investigated by Powell because they lied us into war, but in the course of it, they committed crimes, including passing classified information to all sorts of people, not only Americans, but foreign intelligence agencies.
Now here's where we get into the McNulty investigation and where it dovetails with Fitzgerald.
Well, I mean, because basically you're talking about the same group of people. All these people, Larry Franklin, Harold Rode, Scooter Libby, I mean, all these neocons, they're all part of the same group. So both investigations deal with basically the same personnel.
Right, and now we know that David Wormser and John Hanna have now flipped and are testifying for the prosecution.
Well, that's the rumor, yes. And so if that's true, I mean, they're going after the big guys. And, I mean, this is going to be very interesting.
Oh,
and, of
I
course,
think so.
That doesn't mean that Wormser and Hanna will not be charged. They'll be charged, but they'll be kind of let off a little bit.
Right. Well,
meaning that their families will be able to keep their pensions, just like Larry Franklin. Larry Franklin in the AIPAC case, he was flipped, and he went in wearing a wire, and he's talking to his two AIPAC handlers, Steve Rosen, the longtime chief lobbyist for AIPAC, and Keith Weissman, who is their RAND specialist. And so he's talking to them wearing a wire, probably. I mean, you know, they've got all kinds of stuff on them. And plus, the FBI's been listening to these people and watching them for years, apparently. From, like, as far back as 1999, because if you read the indictment, they're talking about stuff that happened in 1999. So this is a big, big thing. It's been ongoing, and it's part of what I call the secret war.
Do you believe that there's much more to McNulty's prosecution than just Rosen, Weissman, and Franklin? Do you think he's going into the Office of Special Plans and the rest of it?
Right, because it's all... Right. Well, I mean, McNulty's thing is a bit more opaque than Fitzgerald's.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you read the indictment, it's very vague. I mean, it's, you know, because they're talking about stuff that's national security stuff, so they don't want to be too verbose about it.
Right.
But it's interesting if you... there's one section in there where they're talking about how Franklin and Nayor Gilon, who was a top aide at the Israeli embassy, are at the Potomac Officers Athletic Club, and they're talking about a certain woman and her opinion of nuclear weapons in a certain Middle Eastern country, a woman who is described as not being a member of the federal government, i.e. a journalist, i.e.
Judith Miller. Yeah.
And so that's what they were talking about. Oh, they were, huh? Well, gee, I wonder if the name Valerie Plame came up. And, I mean, what was that conversation about? Well, you can bet that the FBI has got that. I mean, they were listening, or they were pretty close to it. I mean, how do they know what they were talking about? Do they have the place bugged? Probably. I mean, it's all very 007.
Yeah.
I have to say.
Let's see if we can tie these stories together a little bit more, these two separate criminal investigations. Why don't you tell us about the origin of the Niger uranium forgeries? Where did they come from in the first place?
Well, you know, according to my sources, and one source in particular, Dwayne Claridge and Alan Wolf, who were two ex-CIA people, forged them. I mean, that's what I've been told. They are the forgers. And that this was leaked to the, or actually sent by Michael Wedeen, the big neoconservative ideologue at the American Enterprise Institute and longtime neocon intriguer. So, I mean, that's supposedly... Now, you know, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is what I am told. So we report, you decide.
Well, and in your article that you wrote last week, Niger Uranium Forgery Mystery Solved on antiwar.com,
right.
You talked about in that article, your source apparently told you that he had information from the Italian embassy that they had given their unredacted report on the origin of the forgeries to Fitzgerald, and now I see the headline at the top of antiwar.com this morning. Apparently, Chris Matthews at Hardball reads Justin Raimondo and went and sent his reporter out to corroborate your story. And it sounds to me, from watching that clip from Hardball last night, that, and they didn't go ahead and name Claridge Wolf and Ledeen as you did, but
right.
They did verify that, in fact, McNulty or Fitzgerald has, in fact, received that unredacted report from the Italian embassy.
Right.
So it looks like your story's holding up so far there.
Yeah. Of course, antiwar.com was first with this, but then MSNBC followed up, and they actually have the report. I mean, it was interesting to watch that clip, and you can see there's the report. And it's, you know, it's all in Italian. You can read some of the words. And so, you know, I was thrilled by that, you know, to have it confirmed in 48 hours. That was good.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's interesting that Fitzgerald asked for these documents. I mean, they didn't just get sent to him.
Right.
He wanted to see them. He's been investigating this. And so...
And even better, he asked them, hey, you guys don't mind if I turn this over to Paul McNulty investigating the AIPAC spy ring, do you?
Right. And, I mean, as I said 2 years ago, all these investigations, including into the shenanigans of Ahmad Chalabi, who was mentioned by MSNBC last night, could all be merged into one big scandal, which I call Neocon Gate. And, I mean, that's what this is about. And so these guys lied us into war. They used foreign intelligence agencies as backup and support, agencies that represented governments but had an interest in us going to war.
Oh, yeah. Which intel agencies were those, Justin?
Obviously the Israeli intelligence agencies, but also the British. They were involved in this. As we uncover the scandal that is Nigergate, you know, the scandal of who forged these documents, who tried to legitimize them, and who injected them into the intelligence stream here so that it reached George W. Bush's desk, the Brits will, you know, be seen to have played a role. And
we know Joshua Micah Marshall has written that all of the information, all the intelligence that anybody ever had that said that Hussein was trying to buy uranium from Niger, all of it came from these forged documents.
Yeah.
Even though the documents themselves didn't surface until October 2002, that was the information that Wilson went to debunk. And when the forgeries themselves finally surfaced, they found that the earlier intelligence was basically word for word from these forged documents. So
right,
there's nothing that the British have or anybody else have except for these forgeries that Ledeen and his buddies made.
Right, there is no other source, even though they're saying, oh, you know, that was part of the argument about whether to include this in the president's speech. There was a big argument about it, an internal argument. The CIA was saying, don't say this. And Tenet personally called up Hadley and said, take this out of the speech. Stephen Hadley, the national security chief, or actually assistant chief. And so, you know, like there was a big debate, and they compromised by saying, oh, well, the British were saying this.
Right.
But actually, that was the source of the Brits' so-called intelligence, these forged documents. So it's kind of a circular thing, typically neoconish. And, you know,
what's the motive?
They have a certain style of deceit, and you can always...
Why would they go through all this trouble, this neocon gate that you describe, lying us into war and committing all these smaller felonies in the process of lying us into war? Why?
Well, there's two reasons, and the first one is ideological, and that is that they really are sincere in their belief that America needs to be an empire, that they need to establish American supremacy over the entire earth, basically, and institute a new world order. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's always been about that. but also to help Israel. I mean, they couldn't do it by themselves as this little isolated group, nationally isolated inside the United States. And you have to remember that for like a lot of these people, Israel was kind of like the Soviet Union was to the communists. And so, I mean, who benefits from our war? It's Israel.
Yeah, Al-Qaeda, Iran, and Israel, by my count.
That's it.
All right, everybody, Justin Raimondo, he's the editorial director of antiwar.com. Please go back and check his article, Niger Uranium Forgery Mystery Solved, from the 19th of this month at antiwar.com. Thanks again for your time today, sir. And talk to you soon. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Talk about how empire weakens America.